This is the Chris Smith Show on today's News Talk, TNT Radio.
So good to have you with us. A fiery, very excitable first hour, and I take a lot of responsibility for that. But it riles me that mainstream media is so very, very quick to dump free speech to be appreciated by the social media platforms like YouTube. And that is the story of Sky News and others. They don't want to be cancelled, you see, because they don't have a business model when they're cancelled. So free speech becomes only convenient when it is. In this case, it's not. And they should be ashamed. We'll catch up with Vicky Campion, Daily Telegraph columnist, very, very shortly. She has some very interesting views on censorship. And Alex Zaharoff-Reut with our cyber technology segment as well. As I mentioned, you can download the For My Say app, which is the way you can vote in our Wednesday survey for For My Say. All you got to do is go to your Apple Store or your Play Store, depending on what system you have, and go and find For the numeral MYSAY. So that's For MYSAY, For My Say. You'll see that the question today is, would you support the introduction of an Australian Bill of Rights that protects free speech, freedom of assembly to peacefully protest, medical bodily autonomy, and other human rights? I'm glad I said what I said at the beginning of the program about the essence of free speech, because it dovetails perfectly into our survey today. And I'd be very interested to hear what you thought about the idea of a Bill of Rights. Now, for our viewers and listeners in our rugby league states like Queensland, New South Wales, and to a lesser degree, Victoria, a very sad departure today. Australian former rugby league star Terry Hill has died, aged just 52. Hill made 246 first grade appearances during times at Manly, West Tigers, Western Suburbs, Eastern Suburbs, and the South Sydney Rabbitohs. He played 14 State of Origin matches for New South Wales and also represented the Kangaroos on 9 occasions. No one will forget that incredible nose-to-nose image with Gordon Tallis, New South Wales versus Queensland, featuring Terry Hill. He retired from the NRL in 2005. I worked with one of his daughters. The Telegraph is reporting that Hill suffered a heart attack in the Philippines. A heart attack in the Philippines. Tony Mestroff, the Manly CEO, said the Daily Telegraph, Terry was a much loved and respected figure at not only the Sea Eagles, but across rugby league, where he played for several clubs. On behalf of everyone at the Sea Eagles, we offer our deepest and sincere condolences to Terry's family and friends during this difficult time. Terry will always be fondly remembered at Manly. Well, he was a jokester, Terry Hill, and he was a fun guy to be around, especially if you were interviewing him, as I did a couple of times. He'd always crack a joke. He had a lisp which people took the mickey out of, but he only took it in good measure. And it is a sad, sad thing to hear that Terry Hill, the rugby league Australian representative, has passed away in the Philippines, aged 52. This is Chris Smith on TNT.
Keeping the commitment 24/7.
I come to you for facts. I really appreciate what you and your team do.
Today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
You know, one of the most bizarre aspects of this pro-censorship, anti-transparency rage, which is occurring in Australia right now, and fueled, of course, by the complaint-averse mainstream media, is the fact that this terrible footage of a 16-year-old stabbing the bishop is actually not on X today. You won't find it. The footage is gone. X has taken it off for Australian viewers, for those frightened and terrified Australian social media surfers. But, of course, the outrage continues on just about every mainstream media outlet. Now, is that because Australian politicians and media want to pretend that they matter in the world, that they can control what the rest of the world views online? Why are they even continuing the rage? To shed some light and insight onto this subject, and it is a huge subject, not only here, but internationally, I'm joined now by Daily Telegraph columnist Vicky Campion from the New England region of New South Wales. Vicky Campion, welcome back to TNT.
Oh, thank you so much for having me back, Chris.
Okay, where do we start with this one? First of all, we've got to establish that this is the Malcolm Turnbull hand-picked e-safety commissioner going to town on X over allegedly outrageous footage. She's chasing blood on this big time, threatening fines of $785,000 a day. We know what Elon Musk wants to do. He wants to appeal this federal court verdict. What do you make of the fact that the federal court is saying you cannot run this footage across the universe, across the internet of the world, as opposed to saying, well, we are an Australian jurisdiction, so please take it off for Australian browsers?
I think it's really, really interesting that the eSafety Commissioner is only attacking X on this and only attacking basically her former employer. I think one thing that I looked at last night when I was researching this topic, I was able to find that footage in about 10 seconds on Reddit.
Right.
There are a multiple of other forums where you can find that footage.
Why isn't Reddit being threatened with $785,000 a day?
Good question. The other thing too is that we need to look at the wider message here. The wider message was this person was trying to kill a bishop because of his Christian beliefs. That is a story that needs dramatic pitches with it, okay? Yep. Like, are we going to censor Gaza?
Yeah.
Because that's violent. I have to turn off the evening news when my children are around because of the footage coming out of Gaza. I'm sure you don't let your little boys watch that footage either. So from now on, let's have no more pictures of the horrors of what happens on the Gaza Strip. Let's just cancel all of that. Are we going to do that? Of course not. And you know why? Because it's horrific and people need to see that it's happening.
Mm.
There is a wider message here that they are trying to censor. And that is the difference. The Bondi pictures of the Bondi stabbing, and that was a different thing, right? That was someone severely mentally ill, and the result was horrific. Those pictures ran repeatedly on morning television shows, again, which I had to turn off to protect my children from it. Now, that's what you do as a mother. If I was just watching it by myself, I'd be expecting that footage to be shown because that's what needs to happen. The other thing that bothers me with this is I manage quite a few different social media accounts for a few different groups. And one of them is against what they call reckless renewables, which let's be real here, okay? A couple of things. They're not renewable. They're intermittent. And they're not farms. They're power stations. They're intermittent power stations. They're not renewable farms. We put up a post and it was quite clearly said this is opinion, and it was a community talking about the impact that these proposed wind farms were having on their area. Meta, Mark Zuckerberg, took that down for disinformation. So on one hand, you've got Elon Musk not able to run an actual video. And let's not forget the reason that video was taken was because the bishop was live streaming his sermon. Yeah. Then you've got the Prime Minister saying, oh, well, that footage was disseminated to people and that's what caused the riot. No, how do you know that it wasn't people watching the sermon from home? If you've got small children and you want to go to church, a lot of people decide, well, I'm not going to go to that late night. I'm not going to go to that late night mass. I'm just going to watch from home so that I know I'm not going to bother other people, right? So that they get to have their spiritual connection without someone's offspring screaming. That's why it was disseminated.
Of course it was. Why they turned up there. They didn't turn up there because of what was put on social media afterwards. He has no idea about social media. And this is the problem. The likes of Jackie Lambie and others who've been on the media ad nauseum and being supported by the likes of Sky News and other mainstream media saying, oh, this has got to be taken down. This has got to be taken down around the world. They don't understand the importance of a message, a visual message, to make a change in our society.
Totally agree. And it goes wildly against the tenets of journalism as well, which is that part of what journalism is, Chris, is just holding a mirror up to yourself, up to society. Yeah. That's what it is. And to do that, you need footage, you need pictures, you need to show it.
Yeah.
But I mean, this is the thing where this isn't about censoring violence. This is about censoring the wider message, which is an Islamist attacking a Christian bishop.
Yeah, there are Black Lives Matters videos that are still online that are far more violent than what was involved in that church at Wakeley, and they are still easily accessible. But, you see, we err on the side of the minority group. We go, oh, hang on, that's a minority group. We can't touch that. There'll be an outrage associated with that. But the Christians, who are the victims in what occurred at Wakeley, well, we'll just make sure that they don't have that footage available to everyone. And as for Julie Inman Grant, this is a terrible conflict of interest. This is her former employer who she ran from, or depending on how you read it, she was kicked out of, and then she's getting back at them. Like, that is just a conflict of interest from the start.
There's a massive problem with how the social media companies actually interact with the Australian government. We worked on quite a few different inquiries regarding child safety, and the number of these companies who refuse to even send someone along. So, like, you know, we had Google say, oh, we don't have anyone in Australia that can come and give you information on child safety. We, you know, there, if she wants to start with who's behaving badly, mate, it's a long list.
Yeah.
And I'll tell you what, X did come and they did give us someone eventually. It did take
excellent
a long time.
But also too, what about the online material, the direct incitement to violence that that 16-year-old was probably exposed to, from what we understand? What about that kind of online incitement to violence as opposed to the indirect incitement to violence, which is violence?
Exactly. And how much of that comes down to in what environment was he allowed?
Yeah.
I mean, he's 16, he's a child. In what environment is he allowed to watch that without anybody saying, hey, mate, that's not okay.
Yeah.
That's
yeah.
Not
why isn't
normal?
Julie Inman Grant doing some harder work, some real homework, some real due diligence, going to find some of these, you know, international imams who incite the likes of this 16-year-old, presumably? Why aren't we taking it down at the source and then these incidents won't happen?
Exactly. And I think there's a bigger issue at play here too, which is the absolute proliferation of online of pedophilia online, where they've done where they're not doing anything. And Meta is encrypting platforms so that people can make money off little kids in the Philippines. Like that is where we need to, and that is a crime that Australian men are contributing to.
Yeah.
That is what
ASIO
she
apparently
needs to make
is across
number one.
That story today about ASIO being across that, they've got to be a little bit more than across it. They've got to start doing things that take it down. They're the things that cause terrible, terrible outcomes for young children and families. They're the things that need to be ripped down if you're ripping down anything. But whatever you do, make sure we're ripping down the right stuff and we're not ripping down things that, you know, contain a very important message that can change laws and change the outcomes of violence in this country. I've got to go to a break. We'll come back with Vicky Campion right after that break on TNT.
TNT's David Curtin.
Rishi Sunak is being threatening that he will do this and saying, oh, we'll do this, we'll come out of the ECHR, that is, not anything else. But he hasn't done so. And then he's saying, well, if we're elected in the general election this year, which is highly unlikely, then we may come out and we may give notice to come out if we're re-elected in 2024-2025. By that time, another year or 2 years will have passed, and another 100,000 or so military-aged men will have crossed the channel in small boats with not a single flight taking off to
take some. In a democracy, the majority vote rules. But in most democracies, you can only vote for change every 3 or 4 years. To understand what people want, governments and political parties use focus groups. These focus groups can include as little as 20 people. Australia is a country of over 25 million people. Does making decisions based on 20 people sound fair to you? Have your say. Be heard in between elections. Download the For My Say app now. That is number 4, My Say.
Turn on Alexa and ask her to play
TNT.
Turning on anything else usually requires dinner and conversation, dressing up and brushing your teeth, and I'm already tired.
This is today's News Talk TNT.
Let's get back to the New England region of New South Wales and Vicky Campion, columnist for the Daily Telegraph. Vicky, the former Prime Minister John Howard, I always love hearing him say or commentating on what's going on in the news world, because usually it's full of great wisdom and insight, as you could expect. He now says that Anthony Albanese's big green made in Australia approach risks being retrograde protectionism, which is entirely correct, which is a betrayal, he says, of the Hawke and Keating reforms. You know, while we're at it, maybe Albo could re-establish the highly inefficient and non-competitive Australian car manufacturing industry as well, do you think?
Chris, you wouldn't need a Made in Australia future scheme if you had a power scheme in Australia that worked.
Yeah.
If you look at the industries that work in Australia, look around me, the beef industry, right? You know why that does well? Because it stands up against international markets. Australian beef, some of the best beef on the globe. We don't get a subsidy. We don't get handouts. The seed industry, one of the reasons that's so, the wheat industry, all of these exist without any subsidy, because they can stand up against the international markets themselves, right? The difference is that coal is so successful that it's penalized. And now we're going to stop the coal production and go, we're going to build solar panels on top of the Hunter Valley, and we're going to promise all these heavily unionized workforce that they're going to be paid the same. And that is just not going to be the case.
Never going to happen.
Remember the 600,000 renewable jobs we were meant to get in the regions? Where are they? Yeah. No, I've not. The ones I've seen have been in spin. That's the only ones that are paying six figures in the regions. Yeah. John Howard is entirely correct. And I too love, because when he does dip a toe in the public arena, it is always to make a very big point.
Yeah.
And he did that there. But, I mean, what we're seeing here is they're subsidizing the very rich, and they're going to make the very poor pay for it in terms of solar panels and through their taxes, with the end game of making power more expensive.
Yeah, that is the end game. People need to be aware of this. There's nothing for free. So if you create an inefficient industry, which is what we're doing with this idea of replacing coal-fired power stations with factories made up of solar panels, it can only be inefficient. It won't compete with any overseas competitor, especially in China. So we'll be forking out taxpayer dollars to subsidize to protect that industry, which is why we're talking about protectionism here. It is back to the bad old days when we prop up industries that are inefficient and we shouldn't even dabble in.
No, we don't stand up against the international field with it. We shouldn't bother. What we should be doing is focusing on those industries which actually do work, which are successful in Australia, which is agriculture and resources. Yeah. We're good at those games. We've got lots. They want to buy it.
Yeah.
China wants to buy our coal.
Yeah, very, very true. And this idea that, okay, we're going to have more jobs. There'll be more jobs in that factory in the Hunter Valley to produce solar panels than there will be in the Latrobe Valley coal-fired power station. What an incredibly insulting comparison that is. What the Latrobe Valley coal-fired power station contributes to is one of the great export industries that Australia should be proud to own, one of the great revenue earners that put hospitals and schools up, as opposed to inefficient industries to build solar panels. It is such an unfair, juvenile comparison.
The Hunter Valley, New South Wales could not operate without the royalties that it gets from the Hunter Valley. It just couldn't. Mm. Your schools, your hospitals, your police stations, we are so reliant on that industry. And we are going, like, and we need to get back to the beginning here, Chris, which is that we could literally shut down everything in Australia and it would not make a difference to the global climate. It would not.
Exactly.
And we are doing this as other nations are building thousands of coal-fired power stations. Mm. And we are cutting ourselves off at the knee. We are going to be weaker. And you know what? It starts at coal, it's going to be methane, and we're going to start being taxed on that. And then people's groceries, which are already struggling to pay for their groceries, and to fill a trolley at Woolworths, they are going to, we're going to have forced, essentially, I believe we're going to get to forced veganism. I know I have friends right now who are single mothers who work, and they are at the point now where they just don't eat meat. They buy meat for their children, but they can't afford it for themselves. Yeah, and that is a sick place to be.
It
when
is.
If you want to be vegan for your own reasons, go right for it. But to be an economic vegan because you cannot afford meat,
yeah,
come on.
Yeah.
And you know why? Because they can't afford their power.
Yeah, exactly. We've gone well and truly beyond making 700 or we've gone well and truly beyond the idea of having a reduction of $275 in our power bill. We've gone about threefold the other direction. People need to understand that. One last topic, and you raised this in your article over the weekend, and I thought it was brilliant. The LNP in Queensland, they are playing a small target, and I understand that they wouldn't be the first government to play a small target from opposition to get into government, but boy, oh boy, they really have, I think, crossed the line. The leader, David Crisafulli, is now backing the 75% renewable target introduced by Queensland Labor. Is there any difference between those two parties now?
Say, like I wrote, Chris, what's the point? You may as well vote on the colour of someone's tie because what's inside their suit is the same. So vote for which tie you like best. Oh, yeah, because that's all you're getting. If they have lost so much of their core base support by doing this, it is radical. It is this comes after they've made a couple of grave errors in reading the electorate, which makes me wonder who they're spending time with. Because if you're only spending time with the very rich people at dinner parties who tell you about how they worry about climate change, then they're the wrong people, because guess what? They aren't the ones who are going to vote for you. They're going to vote for the Teals. They're going to vote for the Greens. And this is a problem. This is a mistake the LNP are making, right? Is that the vote is we're pretty much divided. One third for Labor, one third for LNP, one third for other. So they are making the mistake of thinking that people don't have anywhere else to go. That is not the case. We have seen that with the Teal seats in Western Australia and Sydney and Melbourne. We have seen that with the Greens taking their seats in inner city Brisbane. And if they think that, oh, well, we're just going to match, we're going to appease the Labor Party, we're going to win by appeasing Labor voters, that's not how it's going to work. What happened to just being able to stand up for yourself and stand up for a constituency and say what you believed in?
And explain, just be confident in the idea of being able to explain your argument.
Well, you research it. Go and research your argument, because this is they've come back and they've said, well, we didn't back the 80% renewable target. And it's like, well, how are you going to get there? Because you've publicly said you don't want nuclear. You've publicly said that that you're backing a 75% target. So how are you going to make this happen then? How are you going to reduce emissions by 75% without nuclear? It's not going to work.
Ask the obvious question, what do you achieve? As you mentioned earlier on in this interview, you achieve sweet bugger all because
you achieve making poor people poorer. That's what you achieve.
And you cannot change the temperature of the planet. The chief scientist, the previous chief scientist, made that quite clear. Shut down all CO2 tomorrow and you won't make any difference to the temperature of the planet. If only people were told that very important fact, maybe we wouldn't be in the pickle and the brainwashing syndrome that we're in at the moment.
Well, maybe if Meta stopped taking it off Facebook, and left all that information on there, maybe you would be able to. But, I mean, we are really in the weeds with this. I think that we are losing our base so dramatically. The LNP, I can see, and you're right, it's playing a small target. And there is definitely that mood for change in Queensland, but change no longer means the two major parties. Change can now mean, well, are we going to go for a CATA? Are we going to go for a One Nation? Are we going to go for a Climate 200 funded independent? Are we going to go for a Green? There are alternatives. And we saw that in Tasmania, where it was the Jackie Lambie network, which ended up making a significant difference in deciding who the government was going to be.
Yeah,
that exactly. We do not have people who are welded on to one of the major two anymore.
Yeah, we're in
they
the
don't
weeds.
Feel re- represented by them.
I love how you describe that. We're in the weeds. We're in the weeds big time on this. And David Crisafulli might win himself government, but I tell you what, he's lost a lot of hardened conservative voters in Queensland. Thank you so much for your time, Vicky. I'll let you get back to real work. Much appreciated.
Thank you so much, Chris. You have a great day. Thank you, everyone.
Yes, on you. Good on you. Vicky Campion from the New England region of New South Wales, right here on TNT.
Now, TNT Radio News.
I have huge news.
Are you ready for it?
Yeah.
Do it.
Matt Boylan here with your TNT headlines. The war on censorship has intensified in Australia, where ex-boss Elon Musk has vowed to fight for the rights of the country's citizens. Meanwhile, the public feud has propelled X to the top of the charts to become the most downloaded news app in Australia, as more people there turn to the site for the truth. And there's anger brewing in America after a Republican was ordered to delete a video of his X account showing Democrats waving Ukrainian flags in the halls of Congress.
We're the pinup boys and poster girls for free speech. We just don't look as impressive as Vladimir Putin shirtless on a horse. Yeah. 24/7, 365. We never stop sifting fact from fiction.
Misinformation from the truth.
From government overreach to the latest on mandates, big tech censorship to propaganda gone mad. Listen to TNT Radio and get the news and views direct from our expert presenters and commentators anywhere you go. Ask Alexa or Google to play TNT Radio or download the TNT Radio app for free from the App Store or Google Play. Today's news talk. This is TNT Radio.
Isn't it ironic that for the last 5 years we've been complaining about social media, big tech websites and apps censoring normal, everyday people for having and expressing an opinion, and now they're in trouble because they want to keep opinion and keep real-life video on stream? Isn't it ironic? Can I just also add that Jackie Lambie and Sarah Hanson-Young, two senators in the Australian Parliament who want to cripple X, cripple the old Twitter, by telling people to stand behind the censorship of this violent material and get off Twitter or get off X, stop your accounts right away. Well, they don't know what they're talking about because they have just made X the most downloaded news app in all of Australia. How interesting is that? Because people want access to the truth. What don't you get about that? And in this particular case, the truth being video evidence of a major criminal act that allows us as a country to debate that act and talk about the importance of bettering the country because of the act. You can't just erase history. And some of the mainstream media hosts that are now allowing this kind of garbage to get on air should be ashamed to call themselves a member of the media. They are just shit scared of being cancelled by the likes of YouTube. That's the truth. Campbell Newman, the former Queensland Premier, has written on X today, "To those journalists who claim to be fearless seekers of the truth, putting aside the specific issue of the terrorist incident at the Sydney church, surely you can see that allowing an unelected official to censor the internet is seriously wrong in a democracy. Helpful hint, go and read 1984 by George Orwell and Animal Farm again." I read both at school, because it's happening right now in Australia. Campbell Newman is correct. And then instead of being cheerleaders for the government, you actually do your job and show some professional skepticism. How about some of those journalists at Channel 9, Channel 7, Channel 10, SBS, ABC, Sky News? How about you do your job instead of doing the bidding of your corporate masters who send down the edict about not to go against that particular stance because we don't want the complaints. We need to be seen to be clean. No, you should be supporting free speech. That's why you call yourself a news organisation. Decide what you want to be. Well done, Campbell Newman. Well said, Campbell Newman. I love this. Thank you very much. Now, we've closed our poll on the For My Say survey question about the Bill of Rights today. So I'll have the answers for you, or the results of your voting. I'll have them for you in about 20 minutes' time. So that's fantastic. Thank you for those who took part. Now, the last I looked on Rumble, which is another great, partly news, but social media website, social media platform, the CEO is a fellow by the name of Chris Pavlovsky. And Chris has written today, this is the worldwide CEO of Rumble, Australia has made clear they believe in stripping away human rights, that is freedom of expression, in order to satisfy what they deem appropriate for your eyes and your ears. Australia is officially not a free country, he writes. Rumble stands united with Elon Musk and X in this fight. He posted that at about midnight Australian time last night. Well done to Chris Pavlovsky. Now, you can't talk about social media without talking to our cyber and technological guru from techadvice.life, my colleague here at TNT. He has his show on Saturday night, Australian time. Alex Zaharoff-Reut, welcome.
Thank you very much, Chris. Great to be here.
Well, where do we start with this one? Elon Musk is being threatened by Australia's socialist federal government, the Conservative opposition and independents, simply because it won't remove a video of an Orthodox Assyrian priest being attacked by a young Muslim man in church as he was giving a sermon from its global servers. Because we know that the video has now been taken off servers in Australia. They've done what the federal court asked them to do. But the federal court and the politicians seem to think that that should be jurisdiction over the rest of the world. What planet are these people on?
Well, why would another country listen to what Australia has to say in terms of what its laws are? I mean, it's ridiculous.
Especially a courtroom.
It's crazy. And we have some video where you've got Julie Inman Grant, who back in actually in February, I said she should be called Julie Inman Grunt because she's grunting out this crazy stuff. But she was talking about the First Amendment and how it doesn't apply in Australia. But I looked at that. Somebody actually liked that today. And I saw a post from Rakshan Fernando, and he noted that, is Julie Inman Grant serving the interests of the Australian public or other global entities, including the censorship industrial complex? And he noted that it was actually Prime Minister Malcolm Turnbull, who's famously not a conservative, who was the leader of the Conservative Party and helped to bring on this sort of wokest left-wing, wets in the Liberals, that's going away from libertarianism and more into this control. He said that she was a former Twitter and Microsoft employee. She worked in the US Congress, and she was frustrated that she couldn't get her attempts to introduce tighter regulation with the industry there. So she decided to come to Australia, and she was appointed by Malcolm Turnbull to set up that very same thing here. And she's a regular attendee at WEF events, World Economic Forum, and she goes on multiple taxpayer-funded junkets to advance safety by design. I mean, we can't forget that the eSafety Commission started life as the Children's eSafety Commission. Won't somebody think of the children? How quickly these things are turned into censorship arms to effectively shut criticism of the government down. And there's been claims online that the Labor government, which relies upon Western Sydney votes, where there's a lot of people from the Middle East that are there, basically, Muslim voters who are not happy to see the government not stand up for them as such, in inverted commas. And so they want to take this video down. But where was the outcry over this video? Over the Westfield Bondi Junction videos being taken down? I mean, I did look for them. I couldn't see them online. So they've probably been taken down by Twitter or by X anyway in Australia. But how come the television networks were able to play this particular video on repeat on the day? And how come it's still available online? I mean, there are so many other videos that from the Ukraine, or people being blown up, all sorts of things are on X, but we don't seem to hear a thing about that. But this one video is causing all this kerfuffle, and it's crazy. And
it's political. It's not just crazy. It's political.
It's political.
Let's play what you mentioned. Julie Inman Grant says what she says about Australia is different to the United States.
Do you believe that the First Amendment has too high a bar for the online era?
The First Amendment does not apply in Australia. The First Amendment does not apply in Australia.
I know, but you're an American, so I thought in general, as a standard for freedom of expression, do you think that's too high of one?
No, I don't apply that. I apply the laws of the Australian government.
Are you setting yourself up as an arbiter of what should and should not be seen online?
No, I am not. The First Amendment does not apply in Australia.
Well, we have a range of graduated powers. There could be civil proceedings, and we could take them to court, or we could fine them. Of course, the quantum of the fine would depend on the gravity of the noncompliance, but we can use graduated tools like linked deletion notices. So if they fail to remove the content, then we can go to the search engines such as Google or Bing to really minimize the amount of content the Australians can see.
Wow, what a poisonous piece of work she is.
Absolutely. And there she is saying that US laws don't apply to Australia. So why should Australian laws apply to the US or anywhere else in the world? Elon Musk took the content down in Australia. I actually have seen that video through a VPN. I did a search for it. There it is on US servers, but it's not available here. It looks like the Children's eSafety Commissioner thinks that all adults in Australia are children. And the concern that children might see it, well, where's the parental responsibility? Why isn't the eSafety? I mean, I was part of NetAlert, which was basically the eSafety Commission back in the early Howard days, and it got shut down. It didn't get funded by Peter Costello at the time. Great shame, actually. But you know, the whole focus at the time was on teaching parents how to responsibly guide their children on the internet. It wasn't about establishing these laws that could censor what we see online.
Yeah, don't do the job of parents. Parents already have a job in reference to what's on the internet. And then I want to put the graphic up on screen, if I may. Here's what Elon Musk posted on X overnight, showing the difference between censorship and freedom. And there is a big difference, isn't there, Alex?
Absolutely. And look, this whole focus on shutting down this content has only activated the Barbara Streisand effect. This is where Barbara Streisand, there was a photograph of her placed from the air. She didn't like it. She wanted it to be taken down. And basically it caused everybody to go and see it when that's not what she wanted. So this has given the Streisand effect. And as we saw in the news, X is now the number one news site in Australia on the App Store. So, it's just the dead hand of government and government consequences usually have the opposite result. And people are standing up and now they're saying, we're not happy with Peter Dutton or David Littleproud, the leaders of the conservative parties in Australia, siding with the Labor Party.
Yeah.
And hopefully this is going to see a much bigger vote for the Libertarians, for John Ruddock, for Pauline Hanson's One Nation, and for parties that are going to emerge that are going to demand conservatism be returned to Australia where it should be.
Yeah, clearly the coalition, but Peter Dutton in particular, the opposition leader, has scored a classic own goal here. What he should have said is, I think there are other ways to protect people in this community, in this society, and it's not censoring what's on social media. It's about maybe looking very closely at what ages certain individuals can join the social media networks. That is something that you can control. That is something that families can go along with and play their role, because they have a role. They can't watch these things just play out. We do something like that. We protect the freedom of speech, and in particular, the freedom of posting factual video, because from factual video, Alex, comes change. And have a look at that. You remember the image of the Vietnamese girl. She was bloodied. She was full of napalm. She was nude. She was naked. In today's e-safety environment, Julie Inman Grant would not allow that Vietnamese girl to be photographed on or have that photograph distributed on social media. It would not be seen. And therefore, the power and impact of how devastating the Vietnam War was and the resultant protest related to the Vietnam War would not have occurred.
It wouldn't have. And look, in the UK, there's an organisation which has got the word danger in its name because they know that kids are going to be interested in things that are dangerous. And they're using that as reverse psychology to get the children interested in having a discussion with their teachers and their parents about how to avoid dangers online. Using reverse psychology, it's like the Barbara Streisand effect. They're trying to shut it all down.
Yeah.
And instead, everybody wants to go and see it. And look, this is a great advertisement for all the VPN companies out there who are now going to get a lot of extra business. I mean, Elon Musk should actually build a VPN into the Twitter app itself. I mean, he wants the Twitter app to be the everything app. He wants it to be a bank account. And they just announced today XTV is coming soon, so be able to watch videos on your television set. So, the dead hand of government always has unintended consequences, and the people in power never learn.
Yeah. Okay. Now, I've got the For My Say poll report on this issue. It's a related issue, a Bill of Rights, which would protect freedom of speech. And it's related to everything we've spoken about today in reference to censorship. which Australia is leading the way on, would you believe? Here we have the results. Those who are unsure came in at around about, let me see, unsure was 4%. Yes, 4%. Those who were keen, but it depended on the points, 47%. 47%. So understandably, people want to see what they want to vote for, and that's understandable. Those who voted no, we don't want this, was just 11%. And those who voted yes, the overwhelming majority voted yes, 68%. 68% want a Bill of Rights, and 47 will vote for a Bill of Rights, depending on what points are included in them. That's our For My Say poll report. Thank you so much for being part of that today. I've got to take a break, Alex. We'll get on to the rest of your tech news and cyber issues. We'll do that right after the break here at TNT.
She used to dance and dream of a better life, a brighter future, with nutritious food to eat, a chance to learn, to get an education, and do incredible things. Today, thanks to Children International and friends like you, she dances for the world. Together, we give children in poverty a chance to set their sights high and achieve their dreams by ensuring that they have access to healthcare, education, life skills, and more, so they can grow, thrive, and believe in themselves.
Gracias. Gracias.
Learn more about Children International and join us in our life-changing work at children.org today.
One in four Australian women experience domestic violence in their lifetime. Staying is dangerous, but leaving can mean homelessness for them and their children. With your generosity, the Salvos can provide crisis services and ongoing support, helping women find a way out of violence and a way back into a safe and stable life. Help us leave no one in need. Please donate to the Red Shield Appeal today.
Focused on the facts. Chris Smith on today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
So tomorrow, Alex Zaharoff-Reut, is World Telephone Day. I tell you what, we're sort of obsessed with our telephones, although we don't use them as a telephone as often as we should.
No, now there are little Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy Don't Panic style book, you know, from Douglas Adams, where it's the whole world. I mean, we can now talk to our devices with ChatGPT and they can answer just about any question. And pretty soon they'll be able to do all that offline. I mean, we're moving to a world where you don't have to go to the cloud anymore. Your device, everything will come back to the device. But yeah, World Telephone Day started back in the 60s when there was 100 million phone lines connected in the US, and that was, of course, landlines. But yeah, these days, there's well over like 10 billion mobile phones, more mobile phones than people, obviously, because a lot of people have two or more mobile phones. But Vodafone, which is one of the big providers in Australia, sent me some stats about how one of their customers has kept the same number for 26 years, even though they've moved around the world, because that particular number contained the dates of their birthday. And when they give it to people, they always say, well, now you know what my birthday is, so I expect a present. But I've kept my number for 21 years. I got it when the 3G mobile network started right up. It was a company called Three. So that's 21 years since I've had that number. And according to stats from Vodafone, and I did ask Optus and Telstra for their details, but they didn't get it to me in time. But over half of the people, well, almost half, 49.3%, hold on to the same number for more than 10 years. And 2.4 million have the same number for a quarter century. And of course, many people with a landline would have had that for decades. In the last 15 years on the Vodafone network, more than 123 billion calls have been made. Over 143 billion SMS messages have been sent on that network. And 2012 was the year of the SMS, with over 12 billion texts sent. Since then, SMS usage has gone down because we're using WhatsApp and Viber and Messenger, and so you don't use SMSs anymore. But in 2023, last year, it was the year of the phone call, with 12.5 billion calls made on the network. And that was Christmas calls as well. Christmas in December 2023 became the chattiest month on record, with over 1.05 billion calls. So People still use their mobile for calls, but we use it for so much more. It's our little information retrieval and storage device and, you know, camera and video camera and voice recorder and internet guide right in our pockets.
Yeah. Now, there's a stack of other things I wanted to talk about with you today, but HP, very quickly, have a new range of laptops, I think, PCs.
Well, yeah. They do. Now, these come with the AI PC chip inside. This is from Intel. And so, look, if you go to your local computer stores in whichever country you're listening in there, you're going to see computers with the AI chip inside and ones without. Now, the ones without will be slightly cheaper, but these AI PCs will be able to run the ChatGPT-style large language models on your device. They'll be able to create images, do the sort of things you can do with ChatGPT now, but they'll be happening on your device, so it's quicker, it's more private, and you have to make a choice. Do you want to buy one of these new PCs now, or do you want to wait till next year when there's a even newer and better range? And so it'll be pretty soon before you can't buy a computer that doesn't have an AI chip inside. And you know, every manufacturer is launching them. A few weeks ago, it was Lenovo. I was in Bangkok, and last night it was HP, and all the other vendors are coming out as well, Asus and all the rest. Everyone's coming out with AI PCs.
Yep, it's the new thing. All right, now May 2, so we're a week away from when we have a World Password Day. We can't change our password enough, can we?
Well, that's exactly right. But there's a thing called pass keys, which is threatening to make the password obsolete. Now, if you have an iPhone or an Android, your Mac or your PC, and they're modern, they've got the latest sort of operating system on them, you can actually use the system where you look at your phone for Face ID, or you've got the thumbprint. And instead of having to type in and remember a password, it just authenticates that particular site, you know, Facebook, whatever it might be, by you authenticating yourself the way you open up your phone. And because the authentication process is linked to the particular website, if someone tries to send you to a fake Facebook site, for example, or a fake YouTube site or some other fake site, the iPhone or your device knows that that's not the real site, so it won't pass on the details. And it's going to make it very difficult to be victim to a phishing attack where you're asked to change your password or your account's been compromised. And so the days of the passwords are numbered. They're not over yet. And in fact, if you set up a pass key, you can still log in on many of these sites with your password. But more and more people will be giving up passwords altogether because their individual selves, their biometrics, their face or their fingerprint will become the password they use to log into various services. And that's very hard to fake.
All right. Facebook won't be left out of the AI transition, will they?
No, they've just launched the latest version of Meta, M-E-T-A .AI. So this is going to be available in Facebook, WhatsApp, Instagram, and Messenger, but they've also launched it on the web. So if you type meta.ai into the browser, you come up and see a screen a bit like on ChatGPT. It's saying that you can ask it for ideas like creating a packing list for a trip. You can ask it to look at what you've written, like your email or a document, to make it sound more professional or to make it just improve it. You can ask it for fun, like play 90s music trivia. You can ask it to help you with an assignment, to simulate a mock interview, or even draw things instantly. And you have to log in to get it to draw something to create an image for you, but you don't have to log in to ask it a question. Facebook says that its Llama 3, that's their large language model, is on par or better than ChatGPT 4. And at the moment, there's no pro version they're asking you to pay for. Whether you trust Facebook or not is another question, but you shouldn't trust any large language model or chatbot. Do your own research. Ask them all different questions and see what answers you get. Yeah. And but Meta's in the game as well, and they're not going to be left behind.
Yeah, don't trust them. That's the lesson in that little segment. Don't trust them. All right. Stanford University has released its new AI Index annual report for 2024. What does it show?
Well, it's showing that AI is beating humans on some tasks, but not on all. Now, we already knew that. That's been happening for a while, but of course, the AI is getting smarter and better. It says AI surpassed human performance on several benchmarks, including some in image classification, visual reasoning, where you get it, you know, if you get some of those things on Twitter where it says, have a look at this image and try and figure out what's going on. Well, you can show that image to these AI programs and they can figure it out quicker than a human can.
Yeah.
They've got industry continues to dominate frontier AI research. So plenty of research is happening, plenty of money being spent. These frontier models, they they say, which is the latest and greatest, pushing the edge of how fast AI is going, are getting very expensive. We see tens of billions being invested. The United States is leading China, the EU, and the UK as the leading source of top AI models. Robust and standardized evaluations for large language model responsibility are seriously lacking. All the companies talk about ethics, but there's a lot of work to be done there to trust them. Generative AI investment is skyrocketing, and the data is in. AI makes workers more productive and leads to higher quality work, which is a good sign for AI not taking our jobs just yet.
Yes, please, just give us a break. I want to talk about Mother's Day just very quickly because it's only just around the corner in Australia. Have you got any ideas? Where should we gravitate to on the net to try and buy something that you might think is original?
Well, one of the things that I was alerted to from a company called Belkin is their magnetic charger. So this is where you've got a stand and you can just attach the phone to it, and also your watch and your AirPods. I've got the AirPods in my pocket. I've got one of them right here. And there's no cables to plug in. And the newest ones have a standard called Qi 2. Now, Qi, Q-I, that's an ancient Chinese energy format for martial arts and for Tai Chi and for regulating the energy in your body. But in the modern world, it's used to denote wireless charging. And the original charging pads were 5 watts. The MagSafe for Apple was 15 watts. And Qi 2 introduces the same magnetic ring, which a lot of the newest phones can have. And it's got 15 watts of charging as well. And basically, these new wireless charging stands, which can charge iPhones and Androids, are now able to do it at the same speed for both. And I reckon that's a cool present for mum, better than roses or chocolate. I mean, buy her roses and chocolate and whatever else, but don't buy her, you know, an appliance like some cooking thing or a vacuum cleaner. That's a bad idea. Get her something that she's going to really find useful. And then when she's not using it, you can put your phone there as well. There's plenty of different of these magnetic charging stands, but that's one. And look, we'll talk about some more Mother's Day stuff next week, some other ideas too.
All right, magnetic charging stand. I reckon that's got to be a possible. All right, an RMIT expert on AI says there's no escaping generative AI.
No, and he's put together 6 different things that you can use AI for in addition to just text generation, which is what most people think of, ask a question. So you can imagine what lies beyond the frame. This is where you can have an image and you can say, well, hang on, normally you can zoom into an image you've taken, but you can't zoom out because you don't have the image there. Well, now with AI, you can create the things around the image that weren't there before. Like you've got somebody in a forest or a park and you want to extend the frame this way and it'll just fill in the forest for you, or it'll fill in what it thinks should be there. So you can actually now take images and make them bigger and better, even though you didn't take that image in the first place. You can imagine what's supposed to be there. And then you can also visualize the past or the future. So this is with photography. You can ask it to show me what a homestead looked like in the 1800s in the US, and it'll come up with an image based on all sorts of images that have been taken before.
Well, hang on. So what happens to some of these big money photographic exhibitions and competitions now? What's legitimate and what's not legitimate?
Well, a friend of mine is a photographer, and he was telling me that there was a big Sony competition and this guy won the big photo competition. And after he won it, he admitted that he'd created that image with one of these image generation tools. Uh-huh. So there's already been photographic competitions where it was no photo. It was just all AI. I mean, he had to come up with a prompt and describe what it was. But this is going to change the way that people can create imagery. I mean, it's not good news for graphic designers because you can go to Microsoft Designer or Canva. I mean, there are free tools out there, even meta.ai. If you sign in with your Facebook account, you can ask it to create something. I actually asked it to create an image of a radio host, like you, a television host, interviewing a tech guy on Zoom. And so it had a picture of a guy in a suit sitting at a desk with cameras there, and the person that was me was on the screen and you were interviewing me. And it took, 10, 20 seconds for this to come up. And if you had to create this sort of image yourself, you'd have to be artistic. You'd have to know what you were doing. Now you can just ask for it. This was something that was just once in the realm of science fiction. And it won't be long before kids will be not just filming things with their phones, but creating entire little shows about their family or hit TV shows and movies yet to come, all done in somebody's bedroom through one of these AI tools. So you can easily visualize the past or the future. You can, number 3 here, I'm just looking for it. Where is it? Is brainstorming how to visualize difficult concepts? So you can ask AI to help you come up with ideas. You can visualize data. So if you're not an expert on Excel, but you want to see the trends in a bunch of data, you can just upload somebody's spreadsheet or upload data and ask AI to visualize how that's going to look with bar charts or whatever it might be that you'd have to be an expert with Excel on. And it can just do it for you. And you can say, look, I'd like it this way or that way. So you can prompt AI with numbers and not just text. And you can also create simple moving images. And that is obviously going to be much more complex. And you can generate a color palette or simple graphics. I mean, those are the things that this particular article from the RMIT professor was talking about. It was printed at the conversation, and I'll reprint it a bit later on today at my site. People can read it.
All right. We'll be watching you Saturday night, Australian Eastern Standard Time. And your special guest, quickly?
He's an artist that was featured at the HP event doing AI visual art. Very impressive stuff. I recorded the whole thing. I'll have it up later today as well. But he's an AI artist, so we're going to talk to him.
Okay, fantastic. We'll be watching. Thank you, mate. Much appreciated.
See you next week. Bye-bye.
Alex Zaharoff-Reut with his cyber report today. Good to have him on the program. I am completely out of time. That was Fast and Furious. I hope you enjoyed the program. Sonia Poulton is up next from the UK. How about we come back and see each other again at the same time tomorrow? This is Chris Smith on TNT.